Lord, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for everybody. I thank you that we've been able to be here together, Lord, and join in your name, and for the good things that you're doing, God, in hearts and lives, and that, God, you're faithful to complete that which you've begun in us, God, as we are your people today. God, we want to be changed. We want to be holy. We want to be like you, Lord. You said, Lord, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, God, we ask you to make us holy. Lord, not according to our own understanding or our own standards, but according to yours. And your standard is Christ. So, Lord, you're the one who makes us holy. You're the one who makes us righteous. You're the one who makes us good. We believe in that, Lord. We believe in you. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. So, Lord, let your precious word, Lord, go forth today. Let it penetrate deep into the soil of the hearts that are here today. God, if our hearts are not ready, God, I ask you right now to plow it up, God. Plow up our hearts, God. Make ready, Lord, our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear what you are saying today. And give me utterance to speak today, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your name will be proclaimed and glorified today, Lord. Hallelujah. For it is all about you and not about me.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Do you know, the thing is that God, if God didn't want you, he'd just take you out of here. Okay? We cooperate. We work together with the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. We talk about denying ourselves. It's not like there's not you anymore in the equation. It means that I have been set apart for the Lord. My heart is sanctified to the Lord. And it's a cooperative effort. We walked and we worked together with the Lord, you see. But we've got to let God be the one with the preeminence. We've got to let him be the one, amen, that's out in front speaking and touching and healing and doing these things that, you know, that Jesus does. So if we are trying to save people, we can't. Only God can save. So if I'm trying to fill the need in your life, I can't. If you're trying to fill the need in other people's lives, you won't. You can't. Only God can satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. Only God can do that. A lot of times we depend on people, you know, to take the place of God. And, you know, I'm saying somebody. We do. We put people before God a lot of times and think, well, I can't do it without this person. I can't make it without this person. Well, yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. And you don't want to put people before God in your life. That's a mistake. How many know that people fail? Anybody beside myself ever failed before? Okay, I'm in good company today. So good. All right. Whew, feel a little better. You know something that I think we've all struggled with, and I know I have, is this thing called forgiveness. And, you know, not just the, you know, sometimes we can just make a quick judgment on what that means, but I really want to know what that looks like. What is true, authentic, biblical forgiveness? Because it's huge. You know, if we carry anything around with us, any grudges or, you know, harboring ill will towards someone or hatred in our hearts, that thing can turn to bitterness. And bitterness poisons. And God wants you and I, his people, to be free. He doesn't want us to hold on to anything or contain anything, any offenses. Offenses are like a trap of the enemy. Everybody here has been offended before. Have we not? We've all been offended. And I have found the way to protect myself from offense in the first place is to stay armored up with God, you know, is to put on the full armor of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be overflowing in him. And then the darts of the wicked one can't get through and hit us, you know. The enemy waits. He watches. He's like a roaring lion and he seeks out his prey. And so he watches our lives and he notices things such as prayerlessness. He notices things such as distraction and overindulgence, you know. Lack of fellowship. He notices these things. Fellowship with other believers. So He seeks to distract us and to basically get us so preoccupied with lesser things that we're not paying attention to the most important things. And that is our spiritual life. The most important part of you is not your body, is not your creature comforts, but it's your soul, it's your spirit. And if you don't pay attention to that part of you, you can literally rot from within. And unforgiveness is like an open wound. It's like a festering wound that if it's not dealt with, it will poison our entire being, and it will spread to others as well. And I've been offended to the degree that wherever I went, I carried this thing, and it changed my perception of life. My perspective on life changed because everything I was looking at was through the lens of this offense. And sometimes we can categorize offense. Even, for example, if a preacher offends you, then you can begin to get, you know, bitter towards all preachers. Or if a woman mistreats you or a man mistreats you, you can become a woman hater or a man hater. Or, are you hearing me so far? Or here's another one. Someone from another race says something, slanders you, says something derogatory, insulting. All right? And if you're not careful, you can pick up an offense, and then you can start to take sides. And you can isolate yourself from anybody that's associated with that race just because of one bad apple or a couple. Amen? It's interesting, the children, when they grow up together in a classroom, you know, they just hang out, they have fun, they play together, they learn together, they have their spouts and everything, but it's not a race card that they're playing at that age, you know. This is stuff that the devil inserts, sows. You know, God said he wanted variety in his garden. Amen? If we all looked the same, it would be a pretty boring world, amen? But God said, I want you all to be a little diverse, a little different. You're all unique. You can't be anybody else. Just be you. Be happy for who you are. Amen? You don't have to act like, dress like, talk like somebody else. Just be who you are. But sometimes the enemy, he gets in there and he sows offense. And he seeks to get us offended. So what he does is he watches until you have let your guard down. You're no longer connected to Jesus like you used to be. You're not walking with Jesus like you should. And he sees the vulnerability and then he strikes. He gets through the armor and he gets you right where it hurts. Come on, somebody. And now you're wounded. And if that thing is left untreated, it will just fester and it will poison your soul, your being. Now, I want to read this. This is a quote from a guy named Gary Inrig. He said, unforgiven and unforgiving people have higher rates of stress-related disorders, cardiovascular disease and clinical depression, as well as lower immune system function and higher divorce rates because of unforgiveness. Now, I don't believe he's saying that because if anyone has these things, that's necessarily a result of unforgiveness, but I do know that unforgiveness is like a cancer to the soul. Amen? It can really mess us up. So what does true forgiveness look like? Well, let's listen to Jesus here. Amen? Good idea. Luke 17, verse 1. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. And that word is scandalon, it means a trap. Like he who would trap birds would set a trap. And so he says it's impossible that these snares of the soul should not come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall, what? Forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I think we all have, right? When we hear that, we're like, seven times in a day? Lord, increase my faith here, right? I'm going to need help with this one. Because really, true forgiveness requires the grace of God. It is an act of our will. It is an act of our will, but it requires the grace of God. You can't love your enemies except by the grace of God. You can't truly forgive from your heart an offense except by the ability that God would supply you. You see, this Christian life is all about walking and navigating with God in the Holy Spirit. It's a walk with Jesus every day. And so by the ability that he supplies, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. And so the disciples were really blown away that Jesus was suggesting that if somebody offends you seven times in a day, you have to forgive them. And so two things. Number one is we need to guard against causing offense to others. Be very careful, right? What we do, what we say, how we live. Number two, we need to resist holding people captive for their offenses. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love does not behave rudely. That word love is what? Agape. This is God's kind of love. Amen. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked and it thinks no evil. In the Greek, that means it does not keep an inventory of harm or ill. So love does not keep an inventory of harm or ill. You see, many marriages collapse and fall apart because of unforgiveness within the marriage. And you know that it hasn't really been resolved because as soon as the next spat comes up, you start dipping into the reservoir of offenses and you start bringing them up one after another and say, remember what you did. You see? Now hear me, guys, because if we don't deal with that offense, even if it's against my spouse, believe it or not, Jesus and I have had a few spats along the way. I've since recovered, but we've had a few spats, you know. But God teaches us the grace of forgiving. And we used to, when early in our marriage, when we get into it, we'd start bringing up all the dirt. And we start throwing it back and forth. Oh, remember when you did that? And I remember what you said and what you did. And we're not actually forgiving those things. See, we're holding on to them and we're using them as ammunition against our spouse. And so what that means is that there's actually a root of bitterness in me towards the one I love. And it can choke out the love that you have between you unless it's dealt with. And God wants to set us free from those things. Now, the New Living Translation says in verse 5, it does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. So forgiveness, what does it look like? It's really you and I deciding what to do with the offense. How do we react or how do we respond to an offense? Will determine whether or not we've really forgiven. And I'm going to get into it a little bit here. So the first thing that happens is if there is something that's happened to us, we have to take an honest look at it. We have to evaluate and say, well, what really happened here? Because sometimes what we deem to be a forgivable offense or something that requires forgiveness actually doesn't. How many know that sometimes we just irritate each other a little bit, right? Get in each other's hair. And that doesn't mean that is necessarily a forgivable offense, all right, or something that you have to actually forgive that person about. It's just something that we deal with in life, amen? It's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. Don't allow the little things, amen, to fester and become big things. If you just focus on little things all the time, after a while they become what? Big things. And the big things begin to choke you out and the life out of you. So two things you got to really ask is, when something happens, be honest about it, first of all, and ask, is it serious in nature? In other words, is it a sin? Because Jesus said, if your brother, he talks about offenses, and then he says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So the nature of forgiveness here is sin, and not just irritations and some maybe disagreements, you know, in a meeting that we had, or a family meeting that it didn't go quite as well as we expected. And, you know, if we can allow sometimes just the littlest things to just destroy our fellowship. And then the second thing we need to ask is, does this thing really require forgiveness? Is it serious enough that it has to be confronted? And then, does it require forgiveness? So if your brother sins against you, he says to rebuke him. Do you know that's a pretty strong word? To rebuke. Now, I know not in our politically correct society today, you know, we don't do anything in any way to stir the pot or get anybody upset or disagree. Even we all have to just agree with everything so everybody's happy and we are one big family, right? An unhappy family. No, not. That's called lawlessness, and lawlessness produces insanity. It produces all kinds of problems, chaos, amen? Anarchy. So just because someone disagrees with me or even hurts my feelings doesn't necessarily require my forgiveness. Just because somebody hurts your feelings doesn't mean it's an offense that requires a rebuke and forgiveness. You see, there's a soul, amen, and we have a spirit. And the soul is to be submitted to the spirit. And sometimes we need to deal, amen, even with our children, amen, by the principle, by the truth of God's word, and we need to take the board of education to the seat of understanding, amen, and correct the problem, amen. And sometimes the loving thing to do is inflict some pain. Yeah. Yeah. I know that's politically incorrect today. But it's the loving kind of pain, amen? We do it because we love enough that we need to get the point across. Yeah. So that our children don't end up going to hell, amen? Yeah. Amen? Or spending their life in jail, possibly. So we want to love our kids enough to tell them the truth. Now, has anybody beside myself gotten really upset with your parents because they told you not to do something that you wanted to do? And they were so unreasonable? Do you understand? If your parents are loving you and speaking the truth into your life, that's not an offensive, amen, thing. That's actually a loving thing for them to do. And sometimes your feelings have got to get hurt. I know sometimes I probably hurt feelings when I speak the word, but you know, I'm just speaking what God gives me to speak. That's it. I'm just the paper boy, all right? I don't have a personal beef with anybody. I just need to speak what God tells me to speak. And sometimes people are not going to like it initially. Sometimes my feelings have to be hurt before I can be awoken. I have to walk away and say, what just hit me? Let me just say this. Hebrews 4:12, I think it is. It says, the word of God is what? Quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God cuts. And it sanctifies, it separates between soul and spirit, right? Joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So the word of God is a sword, and a sword that cuts hurts. But a clean cut is a good cut. As long as it's accomplishing the task of removing something that's malignant. Amen. Sometimes the doctors have got to do some cutting on us. Amen. To get rid of the stuff that's infesting our bodies that could potentially kill the entire body. You see, that's a good kind of pain. And it's necessary at times. And so when we speak the truth in love, it's going to cause pain initially. But it's a clean cut. It's a good kind of pain, amen, that can produce this thing called repentance. Where I come to my senses and realize that I'm in trouble before the Holy One, amen? And if I don't repent and turn from my wicked ways, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to make it to heaven. Somebody say amen. There is a place called hell, and God doesn't want you going there. Amen? So when God says stop it, we need to stop it. And because He's a good Father, if we want to be stubborn, well, you know, the Lord will discipline His children. If you're a child of His, He's going to discipline you. So just because somebody disagrees with me doesn't, or hurts my feeling, doesn't necessarily mean it requires my forgiveness. But it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Be patient. A lot of times all we need is patience. We all have our quirks. We all have little idiosyncrasies. We all have something that's going to irritate somebody else. If you've been married for any amount of time, you're going to discover a few idiosyncrasies, a few little quirks, a few little things that irritate you within your relationship. Amen? We got to make sure you're not majoring on the minors. Amen? And making those things a big deal. It's just like we have to adjust a little bit. We have to have some patience. We need to give that person an opportunity to adjust. Or maybe we need to adjust. Maybe I'm the one that needs to change. Maybe it's my attitude that's the problem. Maybe it's my own, here we go, intolerance. Now that's biblically correct there. Sometimes we are intolerant, let's face it. But we're never tolerant of sin because God isn't either. Come on, somebody. God is not tolerant of sin. And the world has taken that and they've run with it, and everything is tolerant today. You know, tolerant of everything. Your brother, you're getting ready to drown. Well, we don't want to offend him. He's going down for the last time, but we don't want to yell at him. We might hurt his feelings. We don't want to tell him, hey, grab the life preserver. You're getting ready to drown. Hello? So forgiveness, real forgiveness, is not a soulish, emotional, touchy-feely thing. And it's not a light thing that we just say, oh, forgive and forget. Because if truly there is a sin, that type of offense, where somebody has abused you, somebody has cheated you, somebody has stolen from you, amen? Somebody's taken advantage of you. That's a sin against you, and that needs to be confronted, Jesus said. If your brother sins against you, you need to confront him and rebuke him, he said. Rebuke him. Why? Because it's not just about me now. If I allow those things to continue to go, not only has that affected me, but it has the potential of affecting many others. So my responsibility is to step in and bring some correction to that problem, or at least attempt to. Yeah. So other people aren't hurt by that individual. And the ultimate goal of forgiveness is to win that brother. Amen? Amen. It's not to say I'm right and you're wrong. It's so that we can be reconciled. We can be brought back into fellowship. Back into harmony. Back into unity. That's God's heart. He wants us to be one. And He doesn't want us holding anything against one another. So forgiveness, it operates in the realm of sin. It's not just a touchy-feely emotional thing. My feelings got ruffled. And it doesn't turn a blind eye to sin or ignore it either. But rather confronts it. The problem with America today is that there's been a lack of justice. Things have not been dealt with. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And things have festered. Things have been allowed to go on until they've grown up to such a degree, you know, that many of our inner cities have become cesspools because it began with a few individuals and then it wasn't dealt with and there was no justice and therefore it spread. It's getting quiet in here. In our country today, we've been involved in lawlessness for so long that now it's not even politically correct to correct anybody. You have to be tolerant now of everything. Well, that's what they want you to believe. But Jesus said, if a brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, if he comes to you and says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, then you forgive him. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit more because we say, okay, then it's only conditional upon somebody repenting. Do you understand that forgiveness and repentance are married together? Do you understand that unless we repent, we will perish before the Lord? If you want forgiveness from God, it requires that you repent. And you acknowledge that sin and you renounce that sin and said, Lord, I changed my mind about that sin. I'm not doing that anymore. That's true repentance. It's not just saying, I'm sorry and going back and doing it again. You can be remorseful over your sin, but not repentant.
Yeah, that's right.
Repentance means that I've changed my mind and it's requiring an action on my part to stop doing what I'm doing or to start doing what I should do. Sometimes jealousy and insecurity can distort our perspective about things. Somebody can get jealous on the job. That ain't fair. I've been working for this company for 20 years, and this Johnny come lately has only been here 10 years, and he gets the promotion. Well, I think if you got that attitude, there's probably a reason why he got that promotion. And so sometimes we operate out of jealousy or an insecurity. And so people have to belittle others. And they think that I'm not being treated fairly. It's unfair. Do you know love, agape, God's love is not self-seeking. It's celebrating somebody else's victory. It's being happy for somebody else's promotion. Amen? It's not about me. It's about you. It happens in the body of Christ. People get jealous over somebody else's spiritual gift. And they start cutting them down and belittling them because God is using them in a certain way. Come on. What we need to do is say, thank God for the diversity of gifts. He's given us all something to work together with. Let's celebrate it together. Amen. And let's grow together.
Amen.
Don't get jealous. Jealousy is huge. Amen. It can distort our view of reality. And sometimes think that they need to apologize for that. What? Because God is good and He decides you have this and you have that. I give you this and I give you that. Oh, you've been working all day in the field? Great. You just came the last hour of the day and you're getting the same pay as the guy that's worked all day. You see, God is good to all, isn't He? It's not for me to to tell God what is right and what is fair. I think He's a little smarter than I am. I think He knows what's best for each one of us individually. And we all have our own prescription for life. We're all got a little different cup to drink in life. Amen? It's not all the same. And so some people, you know, they just, it seems like they just got it harder than others. But I have discovered that in order to be something, you got to go through something. In order to be something, you've got to go through something. Jesus didn't tell us to bury sin, but to confront it. C.S. Lewis said this, real forgiveness means steadily looking at the sin that is left over without any excuse, after all allowances have been made, and seeing it in all its horror, dirt, meanness and malice. So C.S. Lewis is saying that you don't ignore sin. Amen. You don't ignore an offense, but you need to take a good look at it and evaluate it for what it is. Is it something that is forgivable or needs to be forgiven, or is it something that is really a non-issue? 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not attention seeking. So real forgiveness is not forgetting, forgiving and forgetting, as we say. Sometimes we're flippant about that. Just forgive and forget. Now, if it's just a trivial thing, like I said, you got your feelings hurt or something, that's trivial. That's not a sin against you necessarily, right? It's getting quiet in here. You see, we're emotional people. God gave us emotions. But we need to distinguish between soul and spirit. What is really an issue of the heart? And what is that of just an emotional thing? Amen? That we're allowing sometimes even something that seems to be a certain way that really isn't. For example, if you have a spirit of rejection, you can go into any crowd and into any place and workplace and you're expecting to be rejected. You see everything through the lens of rejection. Well, I just know I'm going to get rejected again. You have, what's that dude on the Winnie the Pooh? It was Eeyore? Yeah. You get an Eeyore attitude, right? Because it's actually I'm the problem, not everybody around me. Because I'm looking through a tainted lens. I'm looking through the perspective of something that I'm harboring or holding on to because maybe an offense that happened years ago where somebody had said some words to me that were really a sin against me, and they had said some cutting things, you know, to try to destroy me. And or maybe you were rejected by a parent or someone that you loved and respected, and you were wounded, and you were carrying that offense, and so now everywhere you go, you're carrying this rejection. See, God wants to deal with that. God wants to root it out of you. God wants to heal you of that. God wants you to deliver you from those things. Because He wants you to see clearly. And you can't see clearly unless you have a pure heart. And only God can do that. You have to let Him do that. You have to trust Him to do that. You have to be willing to let the knife of God's truth get in to those places. Amen. That's going to hurt some. I know your fire can hurt, but I would be worse here without you, Lord. And let the fire of God purify. Let the fire of God do its work in my life. Amen. Because I want to be holy. I don't want anything in me that would defile others. So Jesus never told people just to ignore it, just pretend it didn't happen. He said instead confront sin. He didn't say trivialize it. Someone said, Mark McMinney said, time heals clean wounds, but soiled wounds fester and infect. You've heard that statement, time heals things? That's true, if it's a clean wound. But if it's a soiled wound, no, the infection spreads. It has to be dealt with. So our inner being and even our personal relationships can be affected because of sins that were done to us. And if we don't deal with it, this offense will continue to pump poison into you. You got to deal with offense. You can't pretend it's okay when it's not. You can't allow things to fester that need to be dealt with. You can't continue, amen, with unforgiveness towards somebody because it's going to continue to eat you up from the inside. Amen? You got to deal with it. You got to let that person go. If it's something that needs to be confronted, you got to do the painful thing. I don't know about you, but I don't like confronting people. I don't think anybody enjoys doing that. But sometimes the loving thing to do is for me to confront a brother. Amen. If there's been a falling out or something has gone on and I'm sensing in my spirit a lack of peace. Amen. And it's just something that needs to be dealt with. God won't let me rest until I deal with it. Isn't that true? So we have a meeting. Hey, brother, want to go get coffee? So just because I asked you to do coffee doesn't mean there's a problem, right? What are we getting coffee for? But you know, the same thing goes with me. You know, if I sin against somebody, and we have to determine the nature of it, is it serious enough that it really needs to be confronted? If I sin against somebody, then you're supposed to rebuke me. In other words, you need to be straight up with people. Be real with people. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, some people are really good at that, to the point where they're obnoxious, but... Oh, I always speak my mind. Well, it's not always appropriate to speak your mind, right? You got to wait for the right time and place and make sure your spirit is in right standing with God, amen, before you speak your mind. Otherwise, you're just vomiting stuff out all over everybody. And it can happen for preachers especially because we got to be, you know, often in the spotlight in front of people. And if I've got something going on in me that's not being dealt with, guess what? Who gets some of that? So I got to make sure that I get my heart right as soon as possible, if there's an offense. But like I said, folks, if we stay armored up, if we stay strong in the Lord, then the things that used to get under your skin don't anymore. Because you have the shield of faith. You're clothed in Christ. Now, I'm getting somewhere. You guys doing okay? When God forgives, it means that He no longer holds that sin against us. That's what true forgiveness is. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, of course, God remembers all sin and transgressions. God does not have amnesia. Everything that we've done, amen, is in the books. God knows. What it's saying here is not that God says, oh, I don't remember that. We've all said that, right? God forgets and He says, oh, I don't remember that. No, it means that, sure, I know what happened, but I've forgiven you. I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. I'm not going to bring it up in your face. I'm not going to remind you of what you did. Come on, somebody. It's not like God takes out the whole list when we mess up and He starts quoting all the stuff we did. That's what we do as human beings. Amen. That's what we need to repent of, that kind of stuff. We need to get that garbage out so we can get the good in. When we don't forgive offenses, we basically hold that person in a prison. When we release them, we're saying, no longer do I hold you accountable for what happened. In other words, I know what happened, but when I think of that person, when I'm with that person, you know, I'm not going to say, aha, I remember what you did. Every time you see that person, if I'm carrying an offense, what will happen is that thing will resurface. And it can cause hatred towards somebody. When you hear certain names of certain people that have abused you and hurt you, if you're carrying an offense, it can actually produce hatred in your heart towards that person. So when you even hear that name, you're like, oh, I hate them. Do you understand? And God says that's murder in your heart. It's the sin of murder. Because you're allowing a seed of Satan to fester, amen, a root of bitterness to grow up and defile many. So we need to deal with offense or it will poison us and others around us. It's not okay. Another thing is you need God's help in order to do this. You need God's continual help. Sometimes we say, Lord, I forgive them, I choose to. And you may even speak to a brother or sister about a matter, but then it keeps coming back to you. What do? You just remind that devil. No, I've released them. I've forgiven them. No longer do they owe me anything. When somebody hurts you and somebody offends you, what do we usually say? You owe me. You understand? That's an offense. That means that you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart. So we got to take a careful look at what actually happened. You know, what do we do when we remember an offense? How do we respond to it? You know, sometimes a critical spirit can be a sign of offense too. If you're carrying offense, you can be critical. It may be just you're just having a bad day. Come on, you're tired and you get a little cranky. That's not necessarily bitterness, amen? But bitterness is a sure sign of unforgiveness. A person who has become bitter has harbored all this stuff and accumulated all this stuff in their life. And then when you run into that and you're around that person, it's like this stuff is just like, ooh, it's icky because there's bitterness. That thing has been a festering wound for years and it's spread throughout their being. And there's no joy, there's no love. The love of God has been choked out of them because they're harboring that bitterness inside. And they're not willing to release that person who hurt them from the prison. We think that if I can just hold that offense, that somehow I'm going to make that person pay. And the Lord said, it's mine to avenge, not yours. You take it to God. You pray for that person with the same love and passion you pray for yourself. It doesn't happen overnight necessarily, but I've discovered that if I can't confront a person, if I can't get to a person to talk to them, what I can do is pray for them just like I would pray for myself. And after a while, you'll find yourself loving your enemies. You'll love the ones that you pour your life into. The more that you have your children, the more that you invest in your children, the more that you love those children because you've invested in them. It's harder to lose an older child than it is a younger child. As hard as it can be, but it's because of the investment of your heart and your life into that one. Is that making sense? Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now look at verse 15, looking carefully. That means look after each other, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There's a connection to holding on to something, amen, and giving a place for the devil in your life. That means don't allow that thing to go on. As soon as possible, deal with the offense. Deal with the situation. If you've had it out with your spouse, as soon as possible, amen, get together. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that there might be healing in your relationship. Because the ultimate goal is reconciliation. To win a brother or a sister is the ultimate goal. Not to lose them. Amen? Genuine repentance. What does it produce? Well, it produces joy. You have joy. Psalms 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. In the New Living Translation, it says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Honesty. Take a look at what happened. Take an honest evaluation of it. Pray about it. God, is this something that I need to confront? Or is it just something I just need to get over? Are you hearing me? There's a difference. Now, I want to talk about two more things. The misconception of forgiving God. God doesn't need our forgiveness. Because God doesn't sin. Only sinners, amen, need forgiveness. People get mad at God because they don't understand his ways. But God does not sin. So God does not require our forgiveness. Are you hearing me today? People say, well, I forgave God for what he did. God doesn't sin. God is perfect. This is the message, 1 John 1:5, which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We need to come to terms with what God does in our lives. We need to trust God. When you don't understand with your mind, what? Trust with your heart. Know that God's heart is good. We can vent our frustrations on God, but we can't accuse God of sin. Everybody's been frustrated with God, right? How about Jeremiah and Job and David? Did they ever vent themselves and vent their frustrations to God? Sure. But afterwards, they always acknowledge that their anger was misplaced. They always came to this conclusion, yeah, God, you're right. Job thought he was right. And he did pretty good for a while, but then it really got hot. It really got tough. And after a while, those little things started to creep up and come out, and he started to really question some things. And then God says, where were you when I formed the heavens? And on and on. He's like, oh, yes, you're right. You're God, and I'm not. He concluded and he said, you know, I heard of you in the hearing of my ear, but now I've seen the Lord of glory and I repent and, yeah, sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he came to a place of repentance. He realized that God is right. He's always right. He's always good. He's always righteous. He's always fair. Everything he does is perfect. So God doesn't require forgiveness, guys. We need to trust the Lord's heart. Number two, the misconception of forgiving yourself. If I sin, then I'm the offender, not the victim of my actions. So if I sin, okay, I'm an offender. And so, I'm not a victim. We have this thing called a victim mentality today. Have you heard that term? A victim mentality. Everybody's against me. You ever heard it said, well, you need to forgive yourself? You know, I always question that. I understand, I think, what we're trying to communicate by that. But a lot of it has to do with just the emotions that are connected to something that's happened to us. And we don't like those feelings. And a lot of times, those good feelings are not going to come until there's genuine deep repentance, amen, and a turning away from those things that produce those feelings in the first place. If I sin, I'm actually the offender and not a victim. So therefore, I can't forgive myself. I need God's forgiveness. Deep repentance means a change of heart. It's required before there can be any emotional release. Now, I'm going to say this because you need to make sure, I need to make sure, that God has forgiven us. Make sure you are forgiven. Just don't assume you're forgiven. If you have genuinely repented of that sin, then based upon the authority of God's word, you are forgiven. But the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness with your spirit that you are indeed forgiven. So make sure that God has forgiven you and that you haven't forgiven yourself, that you haven't given yourself grace, because the grace you give yourself cannot save you. This is another misconception today. People think that they can let themselves off the hook just simply because they want to rationalize or justify some action that is a sin in God's sight, but they want to make excuses for it so that they can somehow appease themselves and feel better about themselves. And so instead of turning away from the sin, we'll just have a parade and we'll celebrate the sin. Are you hearing me, somebody? Make sure God has forgiven you, because the grace you give yourself cannot save. Luke 24:46, then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, or freedom and pardon of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Do you see the connection between repentance and remission? Repentance is a requirement for true salvation. There are people who have never truly repented. They are unrepentant, and yet they believe that they're saved. The only way you're going to be saved is that you come to the end of yourself and you realize that you're truly lost, and you make sure that your heart is right with God, because you confess and renounce every evil way, every sin before the Father that He has revealed to you by His Holy Spirit. You don't justify it. You don't rationalize it. You don't make excuses for it. You own that sin and you say, God, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, and I repent of this sin. I turn from it. And then when we repent from our heart, God grants us grace. He gives us forgiveness. He says, no more will I hold it against you. And then you have freedom from the burden of sin. Your heart is free. That's where God wants us to go, right there. You hear me today? So if somebody sins against us, you got to speak to them directly. Encourage repentance. Amen? And hopefully there'll be reconciliation as a result. Restoration. Leviticus 19:17, under the law, the Lord said, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And you know, folks, as well as I do, that when we've been offended, the last thing we want to do is confront the offender. But if you want to get off that hook, you're going to have to do it. And if it's impossible for you to do that, then you need to do like I said. You need to, from your heart, you need to start to forgive and release that person and pray for that person. Amen? That they may be healed. Because broken people break people. Hurt people hurt people. And Jesus hung on that cross for us, the sinless one, and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for us. Can we not forgive our brother? Forgive our sister? Release them? Let them out of that prison that we're holding them in? Say no longer. It's not that we're going to forget about it. And if you've been in an abusive relationship, somebody's been abusing you, it doesn't mean you have to continue in that relationship. It means that you're not going to hold that against them anymore. And hopefully it can end up in reconciliation, but not every case. But in some cases, you just have to go your separate ways. You have to get out of that bad situation. Amen? But the thing is this, when you think of that person, you can't be thinking of ways to get even with them or hold that thing against them in your heart and hate them in your heart. Otherwise, it will continue to pump poison into your soul and destroy you. So not only are we forgiving for the greater benefit of the community and other people that could be affected, but we are indeed doing it for ourselves too. If you or I feel offended because we were corrected in a fault, that does not require forgiveness. That requires humility of heart on my part to own, to take responsibility for my action, if indeed it was a sin against someone. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes people will hurt our feelings and offend or wound our soul with the truth. Because they love and they know that if it doesn't get dealt with, it will spread and it will hurt the greater community of faith. Are you hearing me? Stuff that gets allowed to go on in churches. Amen. If it's a sin against the body because somebody's allowing or bringing something in. Amen. And it has to be confronted, and you have to use very carefully the sword of the Spirit to deal with that, to cut that stuff out of your life. Amen. Otherwise, it will fester, it will infect, and it will destroy the harmony and the fellowship that we enjoy together. So we have to love enough to at times inflict pain, but it's the good kind of pain. Faithful are the wounds of a brother. Amen? My brother and I, we were crib buddies. We were a year and a half apart. I'm the better looking one, but we're a year and a half apart. I would say that. But you know, we're painfully honest with each other because we have that kind of relationship. You know, he won't hesitate to tell me if he thinks something is off. And I'll do the same. Because you'll tell the truth to people that you love. So if something's happened to you, if you are here today and you know that's something, there's something I just need to deal with right now. There's some stuff I've been hanging on to. There's some junk in me, some things that have been unresolved. I need to deal with this. In some cases, you need to go to that brother. You need to go to that sister. And you need to speak to them directly and say, what you did was wrong. It wasn't right. And if the brother or sister takes responsibility and they say, you're right, and I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Then you say, yes, you're forgiven. I won't hold it against you anymore. When I see you, it's as if it never happened. Are you hearing me? And if that thing tries to cue back up, it could just be the enemy trying to serve it back to you. He wants to double dip, you know. So we just say, no, not going there. I just keep praying for that person. Lord, thank you that I've released this person. They owe me nothing. I'm not harboring anything against them. Amen. I don't want to allow anything in my heart that could infect me and prevent me from being a vessel of honor for the Lord. Amen. Of being a pure vessel, holy, that can contain the holy anointing of God. Because all of us here want to serve the Lord. Amen. All of us here want to be effective. So if there's an offense today in your heart, I want you to bow your heads. And if at all possible, you need to look for that brother, that sister, and you need to go to them personally and confront it. What you can do right now is you can take this before the Lord. And the first thing I would recommend you do is you talk to the Lord in Jesus' name and say, Father, I'm asking you for grace right now. I'm asking you for the ability to obey you in this, Lord. I need your help. I need your strength to forgive this one who hurt me, who offended me. What they did was not right to you. Yes, that is true. It's not justifiable. But forgiveness is showing grace. That means you're giving somebody something they don't really deserve. Just like God lavishes his grace upon us, the undeserving. So we do the same likewise. Forgiveness is canceling that debt. What you need to do is speak to that person right now in your heart. You can do that. Just pull them up and pull them out. And just speak to that person right now and say, I choose in the name of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, to forgive you now. I cancel the debt this day. I release you this day. I will no longer hold this against you. I forgive you. You're free to go. There's several, I believe, here today that there's not just one. There's several people that you need to forgive right now. Just go ahead and speak to them. If you can't get to them, get to them. But if not, I want you to do it right now before the Lord and let that person go. Release them. Pull that stuff up and out of you. Let it go. Let it go out of you right now. Speak to them. So I choose as an act of obedience and an act of my will today to release you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing now. I will no longer hold this against you. I forgive in Jesus' name. As those faces come to you, some of you are seeing pictures of people. Just speak to that person right now. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there anybody that I haven't forgiven in my heart? And just obey him. As you're doing this, you feel that coming up and out of you. You're getting your freedom. God is going to pour his holy oil into those places and bring healing. As you're doing this, I want to read this. Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's an act of my will. I will to forgive. I will to obey the Lord in this. Hallelujah. Just take your time. You need to deal with some things. Just do it right now. Get it off. Get it off. Hallelujah. Get that monkey off your back. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that your grace is available right now. That you're healing lives. That you're restoring lives. That you're pouring in your holy oil right now. God, release your oil now. Release the oil of healing right now, God, into hearts, into lives, into relationships, husbands and wives. Let those things go. Pull that stuff out. Get rid of it. Get rid of that stamp collection, all that stuff, you've collected over the years. Get rid of it right now. Lay it at the altar. Say, God, I repent and I turn away from these things. And I release my husband, I release my wife from these things now. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for my freedom. Just receive it today. Thank you, Lord, for my freedom. Thank you, Lord, for my forgiveness. Thank you that I am forgiven as I have forgiven others. Say it out loud. Thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven as I forgive others. So I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And all that is within me. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you sensed a freedom come today, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, God.